So it's been almost 8 months since we last checked in with Mike Shanahan, Executive Director of Maria Dross Counseling Services here in Quincy. And Mike, here we are again, still virtually communicating. How are you?
That's right. I'm good, Joe. Thanks for having me on. I know it's 8 months already. I think I was on April 1st, and I was looking back at that too. Like, when was that? And hard to believe we're still dealing with the pandemic, still working mostly virtually. And, you know, I keep telling everybody we got to get through the winter. Like, we all have to just get through this winter and into the spring, because then hopefully, you know, some of these vaccines they're talking about will come out, and, you know, we can open our doors and windows and get outside. And, you know, I'm hoping by then the effects of COVID will be behind us. So looks like it's going to be a, you know, 12 or 13 month thing. I mean, I don't know how far into the late spring and summer it'll go. So, you know, my fingers are crossed that by the summer we can be out and about and, you know, going to restaurants and stuff. You know, so we're all just sort of dealing with it as best we can. But yeah, here we are 8 months later.
So obviously, Maria Drost, folks are coming into the office for your staff, but you're still not open to the public, right?
Yeah, well, you know, we this summer, as things relaxed a little bit, we were coming in at least once a day, just the core staff of the four of us. And we did have, you know, a couple clients here and there wanted to meet in person. So we allowed it. I mean, the building was locked, so we had to let them in, and you were required to wear a mask. And we have all the things in place with social distancing, you know, marks and not having too many people. So we never had probably more than one person in our waiting room. But I think we are over 90% virtual this summer anyway, and now we're migrating to back to 100% virtual as we're closing up again. So, and now the staff, you know, I'm in the office right now, but this will probably be it. I think after this, we're going, nobody will be coming back to the office probably till March, you know, so it might be another 3 months before we're back. In some capacity. And then we'll just start one day at a time and, you know, hopefully build to 2 days back, 3 days back. You know, my hope is that by fall, with vaccines out and things, hoping that we can, you know, be back to a full time in the office. But, you know, I think when we talked back in April, Joe, I was, you know, hoping that this would be over in 5 weeks, you know. So I look back at that now, I'm like, ha ha ha, you know. Yeah. Here we are. So we're doing what we can, but it's pretty much a virtual business now. We're doing virtual online counseling through a tele platform like this, where you can see each other's image, and also even over the phone. You know, some clients we just speak with over the phone.
So how's that been working out in your assessment, Mike? Has it been as effective? Has it been maybe better in some instances and not so much in others?
Man, it's a great question, Joe. You know, prior to this, I was always, you know, we had opportunities to sign up for telehealth, and I always was sort of biased against it, saying, oh, you know, you got to be in the room with the person. You know, we all know with communication that much of communication is the unspoken body language and things, and it's just important information to have and to be able to read another person's energy in the room with you. So I was biased against it, but then being forced to be doing it even over the phone, where you don't see the person, I've come to realize that you can actually have quite effective sessions even over the telephone. So that's been a learning for me, and I think for all of us, that, you know, I think the preference would still be in person, of course, but the fact that we're doing successful therapy with telehealth platforms and over the phone is kind of a neat thing, and I think we'll probably continue it. You know, that's one of the maybe positive outcomes of all this, is once we're back live one-on-one with people. You know, we have a lot of elderly clients, and also clients where transportation can be an issue. And it'd be nice to offer them, if they need it, especially with winter, hey, you don't have to travel. We'll call you from your apartment or your home, and they don't have to come in. So I think there'll be positive adjustments that we make like that, where we're incorporating kind of a hybrid of people coming to the office and, you know, we do it in a virtual way as well.
Yeah. Have you seen an increase, a decrease, or a steady pace of clients that you're seeing?
Yeah, it's been strange, because we have been busier But we're getting more, you know, because there's a lot of fear and uncertainty in the community, and people are really all over the gamut in terms of dealing with things. You know, people have lost their jobs. As you know, businesses have had to close down, the poor restaurants, you know, struggling as they do. So some of our clients have been out of work and they're struggling financially. Other people have been able to keep their jobs and work virtually, like we're able to do here. And so it's really kind of all over. But even with the people who are still financially okay, they're adjusting, and there's a lot of, I think, added stress and anxiety because of all the changes. You know, I'm sure with the interviews you do, you're hearing everybody talk like, oh, we had to pivot from this. We had to, you know, get some of that. We do some of that. You know, it's the same for all of us. So, so our clients, we've seen people come in more that we've maybe had to refer out to inpatient hospitalization, and that's a change, you know. So, I mean, Maria Drost is, we can do outpatient therapy, but we don't have psychiatry on staff. So if somebody comes in with more, maybe deeper mental health needs where they need medication management or even partial hospitalization, we would refer those people out to a larger place that can handle that. And so that's part of what we do, is it's assessing and referring. You know, we'll take people, our mission is to take anybody regardless of ability to pay. So we really try to reduce cost and even eliminate. So if somebody says, I can't pay, I'm out of work, you know, if they have a mental health need, we'll still see them. But having said that, if somebody needs medication management or a hospitalization, then we would refer them out for that. So, we're busier than ever. And I think everybody's dealing with, therapists as well, the changes in their lives and processing the client's issues and anxiety. So we're still busy and still keeping our virtual doors open. There's no shortage of phone calls to the agency.
Yeah. What about the counselors, Mike? Have you had any trouble, staffing basically due to the increased need?
Well, we have been able to hire another therapist, which is great. At Maria Drost, the therapist that we were looking for, we're looking for licensed therapists, but also people who can get our mission. And it's a different sort of therapist that can understand a mission where you're trying to reach out to people, and it's about helping them and not collecting the full fee or something. And so it's my duty kind of to look for the right person for the job, not just to fill it with bodies. And so we're blessed with, there's 29 of us total, only 4 full-time staff, and the rest are volunteers, interns, and, what we call part-time fee-for-service therapists, meaning that they get paid per person that they see. And that doesn't work for everybody. Some people need a full-time salary job, and, we're not large enough that we can accommodate that. So, but if we can get a therapist who maybe it's a second job, or they're a little older and they're starting to scale back and they only want to see 5 or 10 clients a week, we're perfect for that kind of therapist to come in. So we have been able to add a couple different people, which has helped. But, to be honest, Joe, we could probably, maybe this is an exaggeration, but we could double our staff and still fill people's schedule over time, So the need out there is great. And there's no shortage of mental health needs out in the community. And so we really look at the other agencies around here who also do mental health counseling as partner agencies. And even a larger place like Aspire Mental Health, they've told us before that they're grateful we're here because they've sent clients to us sometimes that can't pay, and they're happy that there's a place like Maria Drost to send them to. And then we're happy we can send some of our clients there who might need psychiatric services. So there is a lot of nice reciprocity that happens.
Yeah. Have you seen, I'm curious, there's a push in the healthcare industry to get folks to these urgent care centers rather than going to the emergency department. Do those urgent care centers also include mental health counseling? And do you know?
I think some of them do, but they also can refer. So a person can go to urgent care, meet with a doctor, and they're trained to assess for depression and anxiety. And so we have gotten referrals from some of the even hospitals. Somebody might even come to the emergency room, and then we're getting a call from the hospital, from a social worker at the hospital to come to a place like ours. So that's another nice thing, is that people in the, you know, South Boston and surrounding areas, doctors and urgent care places now know about us, and we have gotten referrals that way, especially for people that might be struggling. But even other people, you know, struggling financially, but even folks with regular insurances, we also take them as well. We don't turn anybody away.
Sure. Yeah. With the holidays approaching, Mike, what are your concerns, for folks who might be coping with stress and anxiety added on to everything else that's happening right now?
Yeah, it's a tough one because, you know, I think what people are dealing with most right now, especially with Thanksgiving, coming up here, they're not able to see family. You know, we're being asked to kind of stay home. And so we're hearing that from a lot of our clients that, you know, especially if you have an elderly mother or father or something and you want to travel out of state to go see them, it's people aren't tending not to do that this year. And so there's a lot of, I think, loss that people are feeling, like, wow, you know, I'm not seeing people. And then, of course, with COVID cases where people went to the hospital and then maybe died and you had no access to the hospital. So we do deal with some of the after effects of clients who either lost people or, there's an undercurrent now with the holidays of that kind of anxiety and saying, wow, things are really different. But on the positive side, you know, there's also new opportunities because people that would go home for Thanksgiving are maybe staying with their roommate and they're having a Friendsgiving, I've heard it referred to. So there's, I think, creative things that folks are doing, and it helps you to appreciate those who are around you, and you kind of have a family feel for, hey, you're the person with me, and we're kind of stuck here, so let's make the most of it and have our Thanksgiving, or, you know, maybe it'll even be Christmas too. So there's a beauty in some of the stories of, you know, because everything's different and there is suffering, but there's a beauty in the way we can come together and enjoy one another. So that's been neat to see too. And that's what we're trying to emphasize, I think, in our healing. You're always better off if you can look for things in your life that you're grateful for, you know, to kind of take stock of what's happening in your life right now and to name, you know, the things that are tough, like I lost my job or we're having some real issues. But also to name the things that are working, that I've got my family here, that, you know, maybe nobody's gotten COVID yet. Somebody in the family does have a job, you know, so by focusing on what is working and, you know, kind of seeing the glass half full, it helps us to kind of move with some of these changes and all the stuff we're going through that, you know, makes it easy to complain about the world these days.
Yeah. Is it even helpful, do you think, to write those things down, you know, to actually sit down with pen and paper and write them down so you can see them?
Absolutely. You know, different clients have different needs and different ways of processing. And that's a big thing in education these days, is that we all learn differently, you know, so for some folks to have something pasted on the refrigerator with, you know, like, you know, be happy or be grateful, you know, that can be a nice reminder. Oh yeah, that, you know, I had that insight and I want to remember that now, especially when I'm not. But for others, you know, they find they center themselves by getting outside and taking a walk in the woods, by running, by exercising. So there's all kinds of ways that people can find their center. And part of our job is to, you know, find out and know what works for somebody. And a lot of times they'll tell you, people are in touch with, hey, this helps me. But writing can be a wonderful thing. I encourage people to keep a journal and just, you know, I keep a journal. And the rule, the only reason why I've done it for years is because the rule I made for myself was, hey, you only have to write in it when you want. So as soon as I took away the, you know, you have to write every day or every week, you know, so sometimes I'll write 3 days in a row and then nothing for a month. And then, you know, and I've I got journals going back over 10 years, and it can be fun to kind of go back and read something and see how you were thinking. And it sort of informs you about today's stuff, like, oh, I'm still dealing with that. Or, you know, it brings up a time when you went through something and then you saw the other side of it. So most of us are really good in looking at past things, you know, like if you're out of a job, you're scared, and there's a bias we have to thinking like, oh, you know, nothing good's going to happen to me. What if I don't get a job? All these fear-based thoughts. But for most of us, we kind of move through that, and then something opens up and you get a job. And then we talk much more positively about things that have happened in the past. Like, oh yeah, I remember I was out of work and it was awful, but then I got a job and this door opened up. And I, you know, so I always try to tell my clients to apply some of that afterthought when you're more positive ahead, like to be open that, you know, the universe can provide for you. And it can really transform the way we deal with problems when we think that the next right answer might be around the corner. And it's not to minimize current suffering at all. Again, to be aware and to be able to articulate, I'm suffering right now and afraid for these reasons. That's a good thing. I mean, lay that out, write about it. But now, where do I want to go, or how do I deal with that? You know, how can I keep my center in a time where the ground's shifting around me, you know, in politics and with the pandemic, with my personal life? And if we look at what's happening and things we can be grateful for again, we all have them. And that there's a little secret in that, is to be able to name that, you know, well, I have my health, I've got my loved one with me, you know, maybe I've got a roof over my head. You know, we can all come up with something that's positive. And that plants the seed for then growing out of that and then leading a more balanced life. So you can find balance even in a pandemic, but it's not easy.
Yeah, just basically don't get stuck in that one spot, right? You know, acknowledge it and then move forward.
That's right. And that's where counseling can be a help. You know, it can be your friends. People often get great counseling from friends and family. And I often ask people that are coming to me and us for things, you know, do you talk to anyone else? And so often people get great advice from loved ones. The nice thing about a therapist is that, you know, we're not inside their bubble, and we can be outside, and it's a safe place because you can say anything and it's not going to be repeated in the family, or people aren't going to tell you, you know, oh, you should leave him, or, you know, and pressure people that way, you know. So you can come to your therapist and have a safe place to kind of unload. And then we can offer some of these perspectives to try. And that's the thing, people find their own resilience. So it's not even the therapist, like as if we know, you know, what you should do. It's more helping you unlock the resources you already have. And when people do that, it's like, it's really amazing. So that's why I feel fortunate to be in this field and do this work, because it's creative and it's just beautiful to see people find their center and find the answer or the resources inside them. And then you can really celebrate that with them. And they're radiating that out then into their families. I mean, it's transformative in families. And this kind of thing never gets said on the news, you know, that, like, there's nobody saying, oh, in the Shanahan family, you know, there's less depression and anxiety because, you know, one person is, you know, more centered, and then people, you know, the family comes around that and they all benefit. So any work I'm able to do on myself, I think, helps those around me. And that's our principle here at Maria Droth. We're compassion-based. And so we really try to model that and live that as a staff here. You know, it can't just be a slogan on the wall. We, as you know, Joe, we, you know, this was founded by the Sisters of the Good Shepherd in 1992 here in Quincy, and there's another Maria Droth Counseling in Manhattan, New York, that started in 1982, 10 years prior, and they're both still up and running. And kind of the bedrock for these organizations is compassion-based counseling, where we're really, it's a positive way to look at another human being and realize that they have the answers within them. And so it's important for me here as the first non-sister executive director of Maria Droth to kind of model that compassion. And so we live that here as a staff. And I think if you talk to other staff members, including interns, you know, people who are learning in a learning mode, they would all say that we do live this compassion, treat each other well, and there's a certain joy that we have on the staff and a safety that's in the office, you know. So this is what we're trying to give to our clients so they can bring that home and bring that into their workplaces, that, you know, if I'm feeling good about myself, if I'm centered and I'm aware of issues in my life, but I'm also aware of gratitude, I'm just broadcasting a better sense of myself, and that's attractive to people. And so we're happy to send that out into the world and, you know, in that way kind of be a light in our own little corner here of Quincy Center.
Yeah, I've heard it said also that, you know, volunteers sometimes get more than they give. Is that something that you counsel folks to try?
Oh, totally. Yeah. You know, all of our clients, we're encouraging them to branch out and get involved in the community in any way that they can. And we see that here. You know, it's like our volunteer therapists do this because they want to give back, and they get so much out of it. You know, it's like they're not asking for pay. They're just happy to come in. And it's that human interaction of seeing somebody be helped and transformed that gives them everything. So yeah, I would say each of our volunteer therapists would exactly say what you just said, that I get so much more back, you know, and that the little magic in this holiday season about giving, you know, when you give, it's not like you're losing something, you're getting more back, and it's always the exchange between people. So the more relationships I think we can have like that in our life, you know, the better we are. It's like joy begets joy, light begets light, you know, good actions beget good actions. And it's really the secret to good parenting too. You know, when children are born into a family where there's love and there's routine and there's an acceptance, you know, they're just naturally well-adjusted. You don't have to have a manual and figure out, okay, what way, you know, it's just like a mother's natural ability to love her child and a father's as well. You don't need a mental health counselor to help you with that. It's just a natural thing we share. So counseling is all about getting people back on that track, but it's great energy. So the volunteers are, we encourage it in our clients, and I'm happy to work at a place that has volunteers because it's just good energy.
Yeah. Speaking of children, Mike, are you seeing younger folks? Obviously, their lives have been disrupted as well, most particularly their school lives. Do you offer counseling for younger folks?
Yes. Yeah, we also see children, and it's been a little harder virtually because with young children especially, you do more play therapy. So the therapist is on the ground with them playing a game, or you're at a table playing chess or something, and that's how you do therapy. So we have seen a little bit of a decrease just because of that. However, we do have children on our caseload, and therapists have been adapting pretty creatively and well with how to do some play therapy, even over telehealth and the use of different apps that they can have on their phone and connect that way. So yes, but normally our preference I think every therapist would say this, that the preference would be to have the child in the office and interacting that way. But we've been helping children as well.
Maria Drost is a nonprofit 501c3 corporation. You depend largely on donations, correct?
Absolutely. You know, a third of our income comes from the fees that we collect, and many of them we do, since some of our clients pay nothing, and most of them pay between 10 and 20. And we do, you know, also take people with insurance. A third of it comes from the grants that we write, and then the other third comes from the donations. And so right now, this time of year, our holiday appeal letter is going out, where we just send a letter out to those on our mailing list and inviting people, if they can believe in our mission and see what we're trying to do, to offer, you know, 5, 10, 100, you know, whatever you have, whatever you can spare, and that helps us. And then the other thing we do is in the spring, in April, we have our fashion show fundraiser, and it's been out at the Lantana every year. And this past year, because of, COVID in April, we shut it down, and poor Lantana has been pretty much shuttered, you know. So we weren't able to have it. And so that, you know, we took a financial hit from that. So now we're planning for the next one this April, again, realizing it's still going to be a little iffy and maybe it can't even happen, but we're hoping it does. And we're, you know, it's like all options are on the table. We're talking about a hybrid version. We're saying maybe it should be all online. So we're adjusting and changing. And I don't know what that'll look like at this point, but, you know, our board members are, we have 14 board members and they're great people and people that aren't on the board that have been friends of Maria Drost and lots of people wanting to help and do what they can. So we're currently meeting with them and they're, you know, talking to people and finding out what others have done. And we're going to put something together. But it's, you know, again, so that's a frightening thing for us because it's, we rely on that. And, you know, you can probably most agencies can take a one bad year or something, but two bad years makes it really hard. So we're trying to pivot and see what we can come up with for April and maybe even push it out a little, but that's going to be an important thing that we have coming up. So if folks out there have the means and they are moved by what I'm talking about here and the work we do, you know, we appreciate any donation that you can give this holiday or anytime, 365 days a year. Our website is mariadrostcounseling.com. And Drost has a, it's T-E at the end. So it's Maria and then D-R-O-S-T-E. Counseling has one L. I used to put two in there. It's been one L. But we do have a donate button on that website and you can donate from there or send in a check just to Maria Drost. You don't even have to put counseling through. Just put Maria Drost and the bank will cash it for us. So whatever people can do to help us would be awesome.
Sure. And is there a phone number, Mike, for folks to call?
Yes, our phone is 617-471-5686. And you can call any time of the day or night and leave a voicemail. And we're happy to, we'll call you back for services. Or if you're wanting to make a donation, looking for our address, happy to answer any questions that anybody might have.
Okay. Or folks are having a crisis in their lives, that same phone number still applies?
Absolutely. It's our one phone number, and so you call that for everything. And when people want our services, that's the number they call. And if nobody's there to answer, we usually get back to them within an hour or so and set up counseling. And that's the other thing that's been good because we're small and we have a wide variety of therapists. We can normally get people in within 1 to 2 weeks. And that's been a lot different than some of the other places that, you know, people are jammed. I mean, that's what I mean about the mental health needs. We've heard waits up to 12 weeks at other places. And so people have been able to call us. I mean, we used to say 0 to 1 week, but you know, we've been getting busier. So now we're out 1 to 2 weeks in many cases, but it's still way lower than probably the average of other places where people might go.
Yeah, curious, are you seeing an increase in folks suffering from addiction, you know, because of the pandemic? It's a way to cope. I know that a lot of folks turn to, unfortunately.
Yeah, addiction is out there. I think it's as prevalent as it was. I think now with people, it kind of cuts both ways because if you have an addiction, especially to something like alcohol, maybe you're not out at the bars as much. So for some people, some of our clients, it's cut them back a little bit because they're at home more and they're just not out with the guys or going out after work. And that's been helpful in cases. And in others, because of the stress, sure enough, it maybe been exacerbated and there's problems now where there wasn't. And we're seeing that all across the board, you know, especially houses with maybe domestic violence issues. You know, a lot of that's locked inside and it can be worse. And, you know, so, there's all different kind of variations of, you know, things getting better, things getting worse. And so we're trying to grapple with that as best we can. It's an interesting issue though. But yeah, just, you know, substance abuse and it goes hand in hand with mental health. I think often people that are abusing substances, it's a way to medicate issues that you're not dealing well with that are mental health issues. You know, people that are extremely sad or, you know, usually some strong emotion causes somebody to want to drink, whether it's in celebration or because you lost your job. And so then to over rely on that creates a problem. But the underlying issue is, you know, I have sadness because this thing happened to me sometimes 40 years ago, and other times it was 6 months ago. And as a result of that, maybe now I've got a substance use disorder that's sprung out of that. It's not always that, but so frequently it is. And so if you can get at the underlying issue, often you can go a long way towards reducing the addictive power of the drug, because somebody has another reason to be sober, and that's what they need. If they can't, addiction is such a hard thing because you get that hit, you know, and you want that. And it's harder to look at, oh, this issue I've been avoiding. But again, with help, substance abuse counselors, as well as mental health counselors, you know, we have worked together, and you can help a lot of people getting to their core issue. And that's, you know, again, there's a real power in that, to see somebody be able to look at their life and learn to accept what happened to them and be healed from it, and then move on in a way that coming more from their heart and more from their center, you know, and that's where your sobriety comes from. That I often enjoy, I've given talks at AA groups and things, and I enjoy the spirit of people that have been through something, and they, you know, there's no, they don't put on airs. It's like, you know, this is what I went through. It was awful. This is the behaviors I had, and this is the change I made, and I believe in it. I make this choice every day. I mean, it's a very powerful spiritual position to be having. So, so we all providers, I think we do what we can. We're, you know, we're healers, and we're geared towards, you know, when you have a personal vision of what it is to be healed and centered, you want to share that. It's like, you, again, you want to give that away. So, that's why we do this kind of work that we do.
Yeah, the message is you're not alone. You don't have to go through it alone, right? You folks are there to help.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, the AA model is built on that. You have a sponsor, you have a group, there's people just like me. It's not like, oh, what's wrong with you? It's kind of like, no, it's called the human condition, and we all suffer from it. So nobody's sitting here with, you know, I'm a marriage and family therapist, and I'm married, and it's not like I tell my clients, not like I've got the answer to a perfect marriage. You know, the answer is really about being authentic and doing things that support a better relationship. And I have the choice to make those choices or kind of miss them. And you know, the relationship kind of goes up and down, and, you know, tensions rise and fall. And that's just the human condition. So if we can acknowledge that, then hopefully you can make better choices. And, you know, marriages and relationships with everybody do improve.
Hopefully, Mike, the next time, and I said this the last time we talked, but hopefully the next time it can be in person.
That would be great. Yeah, I know. It's funny. Just, you know, this virtual stuff. I mean, I'm glad we have this technology. You know, it'd be a lot worse if the pandemic happened in the 60s or something, you know. So I'm glad that we at least have this. But, yeah, I think, I'll say I'm wrong if we're meeting next September and it's like we're still like this. I'm like, remember Joe back in right before Thanksgiving, I thought it'd all be done. You sure did, Mike. I'm hoping. That's my hope. I'm clinging to that hope, you know. By September, this summer, it's going to be fine.
I know. I think we're all certainly hoping for that. And equally, none of us know. If we say we do, we'd be lying. So we really don't.
That's true.
No, but in the short term, mariadrosscounseling.com on your web, or 617-471-5686.
Yes, thank you, Joe. You know that you rattle that off quicker than I can. That was great.
Anything else we should touch on, do you think, right now?
I just, you know, wish everyone a happy holiday. And I would just say, again, I would underline, just be grateful for those that are there. You know, maybe it's not always the person you want, and we're missing people, and a lot of us have lost people, but be grateful for who's in front of you, because the person sitting in front of you needs love, and we need to be in good relationship with them. So rather than seeing the glass half empty, you know, see it half full, and try to be grateful for what you've got right now.
All right, it's a great place to leave it, Mike. Appreciate your time. Good to talk to you.
You too, Joe, as always. Thanks again.
You're very welcome. Be well.
You too.